Thank you for listening to Podcast Rock City. Don't forget, you can join us live on YouTube and Facebook every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/podcastrockcity, where you can join our Patreon for a whole week for free just to try it out. Now let's go ahead and get to the show. What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week, early, is Joey Quesada.
Yo, thank you for honoring my contract. It says in the contract, I no longer do the show with Sonny Pooney.
Yes. And right up there is the lovely and talented, wearing her Moobies sweatshirt.
I'm eating it.
Lee. How are you, Lee?
Good. How are you, guys?
Good. Good to see you. How was your birthday?
Oh, it was fun. I had a good weekend.
Yeah.
Had two parties.
Two parties. That's pretty amazing. One of our listeners and friends, for that matter, we've all eaten with him and hung out with him. And Jared, he went on the Clerks cruise. And it's so great. He had one of the characters from My Name is Earl do a shout out for my son, who's a huge My Name is Earl fan. And he just looked at the camera and went, "Hi, Jace." And that was really great. And Jared, thank you very much for that. I can't even explain to you the big smile he had. He was just like, that was great. So obviously we're here to talk about the Ace album. Joey played on it. We're going to talk about that. That's going to be, is that the lenticular version or the?
No, I don't know what this is.
I can't even find a damn thing anywhere.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead. Let's go ahead and get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
So most of you guys know that I live in like rural Georgia. I don't live in the big city like Lee and Joey do. Anyway, you know, so finding a copy, I had like within 30-mile radius, 3 Walmarts to drive to. None had the Ace record. As a matter of fact, they told me they never even got one.
So, I couldn't find one either.
And Lee lives in the big city.
Hardly.
Yo, I don't understand. You always pre-order everything, right? Did you not order the Dubai and all that bullshit? Why didn't you order all the cool Ace variants?
But I thought I wanted the lenticular one from Walmart because it was I you know the cover.
There's no lenticular vinyl, right? It's just a CD.
No, it's a CD. Right. I'm imagining like lightning's coming out of Ace's hands or something. So anyway, I have two record stores around me. One carries new vinyl, the other one only older vinyl, nothing new. Anyway, so I call the one, it's in Carrollton, Georgia. It's called the Vinyl Frontier. And I already hate it because it's, you know, a shout out to Star Trek when Star Wars is better. I'm just kidding. They're really cool there. I called them up and I said, "By any chance, do you have an Ace record?" And they said, "Yes, we have one. And I said, "Okay, I'll try to get there later." One of my employees came into my store and I said, "Where are you going?" And she said, "Carrollton, Georgia." And I was like, "Great. Here's $40. Go get this record for me."
But what did you get? Just one of the vinyls, right?
So I got this.
Nice.
What's the vinyl look like?
Ooh, that's nice. Pretty. That's cool.
So it's like this on one side and that on the other. So there's some red in this one.
Right, very cool.
Looks like an eye.
It looks like I could bowl a strike with it.
No, it looks like an eyeball. Eyes.
It's selling crazy well. It was number one on... It wasn't even in number one on the Amazon like rock vinyl CD charts. It was number one in all of vinyl and CDs on for a little while on Amazon. Yeah, it's a gatefold, killer gatefold. Nice. I almost wish that was the cover. That's kind of a cooler picture.
That is really cool.
The hype machine that Ace put behind this as far as social media and, you know, sometimes bad press is more, you know, than good press. You get a lot more hits with stuff like that. So, you know, even though all the good press that Ace did, some of the remarks that was going back and forth with Gene and Paul and stuff like that, you know, I think it worked in their favor. I think the album sold incredibly well. I think that, you know, I've been reading reviews constantly over the last, you know, few days. Reviews are coming in glowing. The best reviews that I see are, I like the ones that say, well, you know, I really had no hopes and I wrote this off because it was just so overhyped, but I can't stop listening to it. Those are the ones that I love the most. You know what I mean?
No, I get it. You know, obviously we want to talk before we start talking about it, like track by track, I really want to get into a couple of things. But before I do that, I want to show you guys something. One of my buddies was at his family was at the flea market and they saw something and called him and said, hey, do you think Joe would like this? And I've never seen anything like this before. Uh-huh. And I have to show you guys. You ready?
Ready.
Was it a hat?
It's a beanie, but it's
nice. But oh, that's great.
They're it's brown. Really cool. They're like golden brown.
They're like my shade.
Yes.
Or Sunny's shade.
Do you think they did this shade so they wouldn't get sued?
Dude, let me tell you something. If Kiss Online sold that would be, you know, $1,700.
I think they only paid $300. Anyway, I wanted to show you guys that. Okay, so Joey, we got to talk about this. Because I was living in a completely different house and I get this phone call like at 10:30 at night and it's all right, listen, I haven't been able to talk to anybody about this and I need somebody to talk to about this. And I know that you'll appreciate what I'm about to say, but I just got done cutting demos for Ace's new record. And I was like, no shit. This is, you know, being a Kiss fan your whole life and then getting the opportunity even just to track a demo.
So, you know, that is originally how it started. I didn't know what it was going to become. So, you know, how I got involved, obviously, Steve Brown and I worked together on various projects. I do some Trickster dates with them, with Steve and PJ. I just did the Jericho Cruise with Trickster. I also play with Eric Martin with Steve and PJ. We do a lot of shows yearly. Eric Martin from Mr. Big. So I know those guys for a very long time. Been working together for a long time. Steve always, you know, would call me for, you know, various tracks. He just released his new guitar line. I did some tracks with him for, you know, to kind of launch that line. And I did my new Zio 2 tracks over at his studio. So, you know, Steve and I worked really well together. Steve is great to work with. He works super fast and super efficiently. So it's so much fun. So, you know, rewind November 2022, we were at a wedding together and he pulls me and my other buddy, we won't mention his name because he loves to be called by name, but I'll just call him someone today. It's a little joke. That's how I mentioned them in my book. And Steve pulls me and this other guy out to his car. He's like, listen, guys, I'm working with Ace on some songs for his new record. And yeah, listen, there's no bigger Kiss fan than me. So I'm losing my mind. I'm salivating. I'm like, oh my God, let me hear something. I got to hear something. So he plays me, you know, a very rough, what turned out to be Walking on the Moon. And I was floored. I'm like, dude, this is great. I love the way it's so different for Ace. It's sounding great. Ace's vocal sounded great, you know, and you know, immediately I kind of took him by the throat. I said, dude, you got to get me involved in this. Whatever you need, I'm there. I'm, you know, whatever you need me to do, you know, need me to demo some tracks, you need me to lay down anything that you want, you know, I'm here. You know, they say the best ability is availability. So I made myself available and I made sure that, you know, if I got the call, I would just jump at the chance. And, you know, months went by and finally Steve sent me a text one night with a couple like rough tracks of just like some audio stuff, no vocals and stuff. He's like, hey, dude, you know, any chance you can, you know, you can run over maybe tomorrow or the next day to lay down some tracks. These are some rough things that I'm working on with Ace. You know, obviously, what did I say? Of course, I drop everything, you know, pack up my drums, head over to Steve's house the next day. And, you know, the first track that he sent me was Life of a Stranger. And, you know, it had a little bit of rough drum machine on it. No vocals. It was just, he was like, yeah, you know, we want, and you know, the way we worked together and the way Steve, you know, kind of guided me through the sessions. And this was the first session that I did. First, I did Life of a Stranger. And I think I did all the same day. I did the first Life of a Stranger, Back Into My Arms Again, and Fighting for Life. So I did those three the first day. And, you know, for Fighting for Life of a Stranger, he was like, yeah, you know, this is, it's a bluesy think, you know, Dazed and Confused type, just old school, you know, 6-4 groove, 6-8 groove, and just have fun with it. Blues, you know, keep it simple, but keep it driving and groovy. You know, jammed to it a little bit at home, came up with some parts, laid that down. And then when he sent me the Back Into My Arms again, there was no vocals. So I was like, wait a second. I know this song. And it was very rough. It wasn't what you hear now. It was, you know, Steve went on another podcast and was mentioning that Steve brought a lot of the ideas to Ace, and then Ace would flush them out and, you know, finish them up with Steve and write a lot of the lyrics, or most of the lyrics and the solos and all that stuff. So that's the writing process kind of that they went through. So when he sent me Back Into My Arms Again, I immediately called him and said, dude, I know this song. This is an old Ace song from the 80s. He's like, yeah, we were listening to it on YouTube. I think we're going to cut it. So right then and there, I said, listen, I'll do all the demos you can. If you can get me on this song as the official drum track, I will lose my mind, because I was always a major, major fan of that song. So that was my original goal, was like, if I can get, I'll do some rough demos just to kind of help Ace out. And he was telling me about Fighting for Life. Ace didn't like the drum machine part on it, so he wanted me to come up with something. And yeah, so, but my goal was really, if I could get Back Into My Arms Again as just the track on that, you know, my life is set.
That's amazing. Wow. So, all right. So you go into the studio. I've seen now one video you put together where you're playing. Did you do the laundry? What was happening?
What was up with the laundry room?
So that's Steve's studio.
Uh-huh.
Steve's studio. And I'll tell you, Ace came by the first day too. And I'll tell you the whole background story of that. But I do want to dive into what you guys think of the record. I'm dying to hear, because I had sent you guys kind of a pre-release of it. And I really haven't talked to you guys about it. We went
right.
A little bit via text, but nothing substantial. So I'm dying to hear your take on it. But Steve's studio, the drum room is literally his laundry room. And it has great acoustics. It's like cement, and it's bouncing around, the great reverb in there. So, you know, he's got a great studio in his basement, and his laundry room is literally where he tracks drums. And it's great because it's isolated. It has the screen into the control room. So that's where we track the drums, track those three songs the first day. Ace was supposed to come. I got there maybe 11 in the morning. I brought a nice box of cannolis for the day for everybody. I don't go anywhere without a nice nice pastry.
I saw the picture. It looked nice. Delicious.
Of course, I always travel with some pastry. And I figured Ace would enjoy them. Steve and we would enjoy a nice cannoli together. I got there about 11, set up. I tracked those three songs. You know, it took a couple hours. Not many takes of each song. If anything, it wasn't about different takes. Steve, you know, when Steve was building the songs, he just wanted options. So, you know, I would do a take or two, and then he's like, "Hey, do me a favor. Let's do the choruses again, and let's get a different feel in the chorus. Let's do a double time chorus. Let's do a little bit, you know, a busier chorus." So that's kind of how we built the songs. It wasn't, you know, like old school 1970s, 80s, where the band is going into play together and building the song. I would get, you know, these rough demos, you know, barely songs. You know, these first three were pretty complete. The next few that I got, I'll tell you later, were very rough, that I didn't even know what songs they wind up being on the record. But for this first session, again, you know, we would just do different takes. So I finished up maybe 4 or 5 o'clock, done tracking. By the time we got sounds and levels and all that stuff, I finished up about 4 or 5. Ace was supposed to come by about 2. It's now 5, 6. Had a little break, had some dinner with Steve and his family. Steve weirdly took his cat for a walk.
Walking a cat?
Yeah, I know. Wow. He had his cat on a leash. It was weird. I have pictures of it. I'll post them one day. But it was fun. You know, we had a great, super great day. Steve loves, you know, how I work, and I love how Steve works. So we just, you know, we work very well together. And, you know, Steve was in touch with Ace, and finally Ace is like, "I'm on my way." So Steve's like, "Dude, you could go. You know, I'm just going to do some vocals and stuff with Ace tonight and some solos." I'm like, "Go.
Not what going anywhere." Fuck.
Go. You have me. I'm living here unless you're throwing me out.
Exactly.
So
seriously,
I'm not going anywhere. No, so again, Ace only lives about 45 minutes from Steve. An hour goes by. 2 hours goes by. Oh, Steve and I are just bullshitting, you know, maybe starting to toy with some other songs and stuff like that. Ace finally calls, "Hey, man, I got a flat tire." Oh, and Steve's like, "Oh, Ace has a flat tire." I'm like, "What?
What?"
Now, Ace has a brand new Bentley at the time.
Ace has a flat tire.
Brand new Bentley. He posted a picture of it online. Gorgeous, whatever. I don't know, $200,000. How much is a Bentley? Gorgeous car. He's got a flat tire. He's waiting for AAA to come to change the tire.
Oh, my God.
AAA winds up coming to change the tire. Long story short, well, this is maybe the long story longer. AAA comes to change the tire. Bentley's, because of, I guess, security reasons, you can't just get into the trunk. He had only like the key to start the car. He didn't have the key to get into the trunk. Laura's girlfriend has to come bring him the key to get into the trunk so they can change the tire. Obviously, the guy from AAA is in heaven because he winds up being a big Kiss fan.
Oh, my God.
He's hanging out with Ace for 2 hours in a CVS parking lot where he blew out his tire. So Ace winds up showing up 8, 9 o'clock, which is, I don't know, 7 hours late-ish. Had a flat tire. And he comes in, he's telling us the story, how he got it. "Yeah, I got a flat tire. I was pulling into the CVS parking lot, and I didn't see the curb there, and I went up, and the tire blew." I said, "Ace." And now I know Ace a little bit. We've met over the years. He's come to see ZO2 play when we played a couple shows with Joel and Turner. We hung out after hours and stuff. Ace and I know each other in passing. Mm-hmm. But literally the first thing I say to him that day, we didn't even say hello. I said, "Ace, hold on. You blew your tire driving into, why were you going to CVS in your brand new Bentley on the way to the session?" He goes, "Well, you know, I wanted to get some cashews. I figured we'd be hungry at the session." Cashews. And literally, he goes, "Look." And he had a bag of cashews. He goes, "You want some cashews?" I said, "You know what? Absolutely."
Yes.
Had some Ace Frehley cashews that cost him, you know, 7 hours flat tire. And we were off to the races. That night, Ace tracked and Ace and we literally were riding together. You know, I was trying to contribute. I don't think he used anything of mine, but he was writing all the lyrics to Constantly Cute in front of me. Tracked all the vocals that night, did the solo that night in front of me. You know, so all this bullshit that Ace didn't write and Ace didn't play on the album. It's a joke. I'm sitting there. He's writing the lyrics in front of me, tracking, doing the solos in front of me. So, you know, all that rumor about Ace not playing and stuff is ridiculous.
Where do they come up with it?
Oh, it's insane.
Well, you know, here. Okay. So now I'm going to play devil's advocate. Okay. So I listened. First and foremost, I want to let you know, I sent you a message. You sent us I guilted you into sending us the thing because I was like, the fucking Three Sides guys have this. How are they listening to it? And right. Joey's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me see. I got you. And then he sends us the thing. I'm just kidding about the fucking Three Sides. Anyway,
just so you know, I'm the one that sent it to Three Sides as well. So,
oh, okay.
But I always get not on the sly. I always get clearance. I message Steve.
Right. Yeah.
Before an interview, we usually send out the tracks.
Sure. So I listened to it and I sent you a message and I said, I like the last few songs. That's basically what I said. But now I listened to it twice today, with the vinyl, and I can honestly say. It's grown on me a lot, but I will say that when people say this doesn't sound like maybe Ace had a lot to do with it, it is kind of different than how his normal sound is. However, when you write with other people, this is what happens. I'm not a professional musician the same way Joey's a professional musician, but I get paid to play. I know how this works. When you sit down with somebody, I have my own style of writing, and if you listen to a Joe song written with just Joe, it sounds one way. If you listen to a song written with Joey and Lee, it's going to have a completely different feel. And most of the songs have that. But the cool thing is that I feel like Ace was not afraid to take inspiration from other places. It wasn't a, you know, my way or the highway thing, it feels like. Right or wrong?
Absolutely. So again, Steve, you know, obviously Steve's from Trickster. Steve has a very pop sensibility background. Steve plays with Def Leppard. He fills in with Def Leppard. That's his wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And if you remember back in the day, and you know, the Ace that I always loved the most, and not that I love the 78 solo album Beyond Belief. It's one of my favorite albums of all time. But I also love Dynasty Ace and I love Unmasked Ace. Those that pop, talk to
three
me.
Three different Aces.
Two Sides of the Coin, Torpedo Girl. All of that stuff, even Hard Times, they're very pop-oriented songs. And I feel like over the last 15 years, whatever since Anomaly has come out, and even starting at Trouble Walking, Ace lost a little bit of that pop sensibility. You know, on that first Freely's Comet album, there was Dolls. You know, obviously all the Todd Howarth stuff was incredible. Todd is love all the Todd Howarth stuff on the Freely's Comet records, maybe even more than the Ace stuff. But, you know, there was a lot of Into the Night, even like stuff like Love Me Right and stuff like that. There were pop sensibilities in those songs that I think since 2009, or like I said, even since 89 with Trouble Walking, Ace has gone away from. If you listen to things like on Anomaly and Spaceman and Space Invader, they're very drudgy, they're very prodding songs. They're good. There's moments of greatness in those songs, but there's not a lot of melody and hook, if you want to say that, hit type songs. And I think that's just what Steve brought out of Ace. I think Ace was missing that for a long time. And I don't think Ace couldn't write that way by himself. I think Ace was almost, I don't want to say scared to write that way, but he went away from that pop sensibilities because I think he thought fans wanted Strange Ways and Parasite and that type of Ace, where I think we were missing that pop Ace. And I think Steve just brought that out of him.
I agree. Lee, now, sense. Right. So, all right. So I've been talking out. Lee, you've heard that you've only got to hear it a couple of times.
Yeah, I haven't been able to find the CD. Like even the Walmart website, there's nothing. Like
there's nothing
to even have it
so,
sent.
So your I'll first find, impression, I'll get it. I'll get your it. First impression when listening to it.
Yeah, I've listened to it maybe twice, you know, all the way through, and I loved it. I mean, there was a few that they'll probably grow on me, but yeah, it was, like you said, it was more poppy, and I think my favorite one maybe was, so far, was like, I think I liked Cosmic Heart. and Up in the Sky. And I always love Ace's instrumentals. Like Fractured is one of my favorites. So I love that he put that Stratosphere. I really dug that.
Lee, I was playing stuff for you at the airport. Remember from
yes, that's
Kiss,
right.
Kiss Cancer Goodbye. We were at the airport together, and I was giving Lee a little taste. We had the headphones one ear. Before you had anything, Joe, Lee was first.
Oh my god! I was literally sitting. Anyway, all right, it doesn't matter.
yeah. So back to that first session. So, you know. It was such a surreal night. So I only tracked with Ace one night. I tracked two more times with Steve doing retracks and some new songs. But that first night with Ace, it was so surreal because it was such a great experience, not only to literally track songs for Ace's album, which is so surreal to even mention in the same breath, but watching Ace do his vocals and all the people saying auto-tuned and processed and, listen, of course, some stuff is pitch corrected. There's not a record in the world since 2010 that hasn't been pitch corrected. But Ace also, in the way Steve records vocals, I saw them. They tripled and sometimes even quadrupled Ace's vocal. And what happens when you do that, there's a slight phase because every vocal is not exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're hearing a slight phase in the vocal. Of course, there's pitch correction, guys. Every Beyonce,
it's the year 2024, everyone,
the greatest singers in the world are using pitch correction. It happens. Right. Mm-hmm. But the phasing that you're hearing, the processing that people are saying, oh, it's auto-tuned. It's even I heard someone on the Three Sides site say it's AI generated. Oh. These people are morons.
Lost their minds.
I watched Ace track. I heard it live. You could hear the phasing happen. So anyway, that first night, in between takes, Ace is going into his bag and like digging stuff out of his bag and talking as he's doing it. And he's like, oh, well, hold on a second. I'm looking for something here. Hold on. And he's got his head buried in like this big duffel bag. And I'm like, Ace, what are you looking for? He's like, hold on. Yeah, what am I looking for?
Oh,
and he would forget. And then he goes, no, hold on, I remember. And sure enough, he would come out with these different things, and he started doing magic tricks.
Come on.
I swear to God. Joe, I told you this the first night,
yes.
Right? Amazing. Tell me if I'm lying.
No, yes.
He's pulling out, I literally have the dollar bill, like he turned into like a bow tie for me. And then Steve's kids were coming down in the basement. And we were going up to his kitchen. He was doing tricks for the kids. He did something with like a roll of paper that somehow he passed his hand through and then somehow it was together again. I was dumbfounded. And he was cracking up because listen, obviously it was Ace, so I'm fanboying.
You're already giddy.
But it's, right. I was literally like, dude, how the fuck are you doing this? How are you doing these tricks? And he stopped recording. And Steve's yelling at him, Ace, come on, enough with the magic tricks. We got to do something. You're 7 hours late. We got to get something done today. And he's still doing more magic tricks. So it was just such a fun night.
What a great
surreal night. It was the night before he went on Eddie Trunk to follow up about that Paul Stanley interview. If you remember that Ace was supposed to come on and like spill the beans on, you know, some Paul rumors and stuff like that.
Right.
This was the night before. So Ace was like, it's not even worth my, you know, he was telling us he's not even going to do it because he, you know, just talked it through with some people. It's like, it's not even worth his time to do that shit. So we were talking a little bit about that, but it was just a great night, fun, you know, camaraderie, tracking those three songs that first night.
What a riot.
That is amazing. All right. So let's go ahead. I want to let everybody know that, I'm going to try something a little new today. So when we get close to the end of the show, we're going to do a new segment. So if you hang around, I haven't told anybody about it, but if you hang around, you're going to get a chance to see what we're going to start talking about. it'll trust me, every week, if we do this every week, it'll be something fun. So let's go ahead. First, let's talk about the packaging. There's 963,224 different versions of this record. One of them actually smells like cashews, and that is amazing.
You get a free bag of cashews with that.
I was not aware that it was a gatefold. I have to say I really do love it. I think it's beautiful, like Joey says, and my grandfather used to say. I like the drawing on the front. Do we know who did it?
I don't know who did it. I'm not sure if it's the same artist that did Spaceman for him. It looks kind of similar to that.
Yeah.
I would think it is the same artist, but I'm not sure, Joe.
And then, of course, there's all kinds of different vinyl. I will tell you, I looked online at the bubblegum vinyl. Have you guys seen this?
Yeah, it looks great.
It's like pink. It looks like one of those Australian, what was the bubblegum that came as a record?
Yes, I remember.
And it was the Unmasked record. I have one. I can't remember.
So I'm just going to tell you now, Joe. So I think there's like 67 different vinyls right now.
Oh.
If you don't get each one of them, I'm going to be personally offended, Joe.
I don't want
your friend is playing on this record.
All right.
I know you're a crazy Kiss fan. You have every vinyl that they've ever put out times six. If you don't get every one, and I want to see a live video of you buying every
one.
If you don't get each one, you're going to be dead to me like Pooney is.
Oh, somebody said Chewbop. Thank you, Brett.
Chewbop.
And a Facebook user said, thank you guys. Yes, what Brett said. Thank you guys. Anyway, all right. So
yeah. So before I get to the next recording session, let's go track to track. I want to hear what you guys think.
Yeah. Okay. I wrote all my stuff down. So. Let's start. I'll start. The first track, it of course, is 10,000 Volts. It's like a classic A-style song. The solo's the classic A-style song. To me, the vocal is a little slow for me, but it's grown on me. But when you hear the solo, you know it's Ace Frehley. Lee?
Yeah, it's got a good groove. I like the is he selling the CDs on his website that have the colors and stuff? Because I can go on Amazon.
Monarch Heavy, which is his record label, you can order everything direct from them.
That's what I'll do.
Yep. I'll send you the link after.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, the Amazon is just going to be a plain old CD.
Yep.
That's why I didn't get Amazon.
Let's see.
Yeah, I love 10,000 Volts. I mean, when I first heard it, so I had demoed 10,000 Volts originally.
Oh.
I demoed 10,000 Volts. I did Fighting for Life and I did Cherry Medicine. I did those three in addition to the six that I'm already on. So I was almost on 9 out of the 11 songs. But obviously, dude, Anton.
He had to have Anton in there.
He's one of the greatest drummers in the world. My demos, Anton took them and Anton fired them up and made them 100 times better. When Ace wanted to get Anton involved no matter what. So, like I said, I was just happy to get one song on the record, never mind the five or six that I got. But when Anton redid some of my tracks, even that to me is a complete honor, have Anton redo some of the demos that I did. And he kept a lot of my parts that I played on in all three of those songs. He just made them better. I'll be totally honest with you. He's freaking Anton Fig. Jesus Christ.
Did he come to that studio or did he send his in from somewhere?
He did them at his home studio.
Oh, that was my next question.
Yep.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Where's he out in LA or something?
No, Anton. So that's what really triggered Ace to get Anton involved. Obviously, listen, having Anton involved is so important for the Ace Frehley cult and the fandom and just Ace's sound. Anton is, it's one of the reasons why I love his 78 solo album the best is because of Anton's drumming. So, to have Anton involved in this record, I think it was a no-brainer. So Anton lives in New Jersey now. So now that Anton was so close, he called him. He said, hey, dude, can you lay down a track or two for me? And it turned out to be those three. Let me just let my dog out. Go ahead. Keep talking.
Okay, cool.
I was like, whose dog is that?
Let's see. Okay, so we didn't do track number two yet, right? No, track number two is Walking on the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for me, Walking on the Moon has so many hooks in it. I keep finding myself, I keep singing the chorus because it's getting stuck in my head. Once again, one of the things that's I'm noticing in the comment section here is that, you know, it's the same as just about any other record. You got people that like some songs and don't like others. And then this song, and then somebody will go, I like this song. And somebody will go, oh, you're crazy. It's terrible. And then somebody will go, that song's great. And that person will go, great. It's terrible. It's the same every record.
But that's the fun of it. Listen, there's no right or wrong answer to any of these, right?
Right. It's everyone subjective.
Of course it's subjective. There's no, hey, this is the best solo album since this. This is the best song since this. Yeah. This is the worst song ever. It's your opinion. And that's the fun of being a Kiss fan, right? We all have these such a wide variety of opinions on certain things. It makes the community fun and engaging. And I think without all of us having these different opinions for these crazy topics, like I love Unmasked. Some people think it's the worst album ever. That's the fun of being a Kiss fan. Because in my brain, I'm like, how could you possibly think this album is terrible? And, you know, because I really do believe, listen, I love everything Ace has ever put out. I'm a Kiss freak. You guys know that. But I'm honest as well. You know, you guys saw my post after the last Kiss show. I'm the biggest Kiss fan. But I'm going to be honest too. I'm not going to just drink the Kool-Aid. I didn't love the last few Ace records. I thought I loved parts of the last few Ace records.
Right.
But I really do believe this is my favorite record that Ace has put out since the first Freely's Comet record. I don't compare anything to the 78 solo record.
No, can't.
I think it's dumb to try, not only because it's a flawless record, but you got to remember the age that all of us were when that record came out. You could never go back in time and experience that. Maybe if we heard Snowblind and Ozone today or Wiped Out, we wouldn't like it. But when I was a kid, that was godly to me.
God, so it's ingrained.
It will never change. And then that first Freely's Comet record, you know, when Ace is back, and what did he do? He told us so, right? So when that came out, I was, you know, signed up to the Ace fan club, and I was, you know, I was all about that first record. I remember literally staying up late trying to listen to it on the radio for the first time, Rock Soldiers. So I can't compare any record to those records because it impacted my life. But musically and song-wise, I love this record more than Trouble Walking, more than the second Freely's Comet even, which I do love, more than any of the new Ace records.
Wow. Okay. So Lee, Walking on the Moon, did you already talk about that one?
No, I like that one. Was that the one with the alien video?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a fun one. I liked it. I loved the video. So cheesy. Right. I loved it.
So for anyone who doesn't know, so Walking on the Moon, again, I'm always about the drums. The drummer on Walking on the Moon is Jordan Kanata. He's currently playing with Slaughter.
Oh. Incredible
drummer. Monster drummer. Look him up. He's great, great player. Great kid, great player.
Next is Cosmic Heart. Joey plays on that one.
Yeah, he's on that one.
Let me tell you the first thing I noticed about this. It's something that I kind of, it kind of drives me crazy. When it comes to Ace's guitar playing, it's a lot like AC/DC. Okay. I'm going to tell you, and I'm not saying he sounds like AC/DC, but it's Les Paul, Cable, Marshall. That's the way he does things. There's nothing in between. And when you listen to Cosmic Heart, there's a guitar effect in there on that guitar. And I really like it. And I always wished that he would go, like, every once in a while throw a wah in on his solo, because we know when he did it, we all loved it.
Yeah.
But he's so traditional, you know. Excuse me. Once again, Les Paul, guitar cable coming out right into the Marshall. That's it. That's Ace's way. And I really like the little touch that put in there. Lee?
Yeah, I love the beginning. This was one of my favorite ones so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. I personally love Cosmic Heart. It's one of my top three favorites on the record. It was the last track that I recorded for the record. Oh. And it was literally a throwaway. It wasn't. So again, back to I think it was my third session with Steve that I did for the record. I went back and redid some stuff for Fighting for Life. And he also sent me like a quasi demo for, what was it? Blinded. Mm-hmm. And literally the night before I was going, I got the little track for Blinded. So I had to learn that quick. And then the morning that I was going to record, he's like, dude, you know what? While you're coming, you know, we just came up with this thing last night. I want to just try to throw something down for this. He's probably not going to make the record. Because at that time, Ace still had like, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 Pepe Castro songs that he was working on. And, or making the record at that point even. I forget the title. Steve told me all the titles and even played me some of the tracks. But Cosmic Heart was like this little demo that Steve, he's like, yeah, come up with something for this too. So literally, I didn't even have time to listen to it like behind a drum set. On my drive up to Steve's studio,
wow.
I'm listening to this track. I'm like, okay, I could do this. I feel like a little tom part here, this little, you know, this cool tom groove going on over here. So I was trying to figure out a cool part for this. And it wasn't even a song. It was just a couple, like it was a verse, a chorus, whatever it was. And Steve just wanted me to lay tracks down for that. And, you know, we would copy, cut and paste to make it a full song, and never thinking it was going to make the record. And like 2 weeks later, Steve sent me the not final version, but a semi mixed version of Ace's guitar and the song all as one. I was like, holy shit, this is the song that I didn't even know what it sounded like. And it turned out to be Cosmic Heart. It was incredible.
That's crazy.
That's amazing. All right. So Cherry Medicine. So I actually had said something about this song. It's not, this song is the one that has had to grow on me a little bit. Once I sat back and went, where is he going with this? You know, what's the, you know, it's to me, it was a little different. It was a lot different than anything I've, you know, heard from Ace. But it is very poppy. And when you listen to it, what it reminds me of, it could fit in late 70s, right on the cusp of 80s, of that kind of that. It's just that feel to it. It's not quite 80s yet, but it's still a little rocky. And you know, but you know, not Yo Adrian Rocky, but you know, Rocky. And I you know, it's grown on me. I like it now, but that happens with a lot of records with me. So I you know, at the beginning I listened to it and I was like, God, there's a few things, but you know, sometimes when you listen to a record, you're listening with the anticipation of what has been what happened before. And not, you know, it's just like Kiss putting out Dynasty. It's like, we didn't want to put out what we put out before. Yeah. We've already done that. And that's basically, it's on the listener. You know, if you are expecting the same thing, like when Kiss went to Dynasty, a lot of the listeners went away. They took that chance, you know, and this was the way it was with me, but once again, I like pop music. So once I sat and listened to it again, I was like, I don't know what my problem with this was. It's a good track. Lee?
It's not one of my favorite ones. I just felt, I don't know if it's the video that how cheesy it was, but like, but I'm like you, I got to listen to things a lot more. And like I said, I've only listened to this like maybe twice at the most. So once I get it, I'll really listen to it a lot better. But so far, that's like the cheesiest one on the whole album.
It's Ace cheesy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. And that's kind of what I like about the record too. It's not, you know, it has the driving songs. It has the rip it outs like Fighting for Life.
Right.
But it also has the poppy stuff like Dolls, like Calling to You on the Freely's Comet record. So this, you know, this is not one of my favorite songs on the record, even though I did the drum tracks originally for it. I do love it. I do like the song a lot. I was surprised that they chose this as a single. I thought Fighting for Life or Back Into My Arms Again was a better choice, just personally for me. But it this is a type of song that does grow on you. It has that earworm chorus. The track that I played on it is almost identical to Anton's. Anton's, in all honesty, is a little bit better. It's just a little bit solid, more solid, especially just the recording of his drums. He's there was a couple mixed differences too, like in the first chorus, my drum track stayed with that beginning with just the toms, and the mix that Anton did or the track that Anton did, he bursts into a beat, which is actually better. I think it's better. But this track grew on me as I heard the final mixes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back Into My Arms. Joey played on this one, and I am not into Mushy Ace. That is one of the things about me. It's Mushy Ace. It's like love songs with Ace. That's not what I want. What I want is rock when it comes to Ace. And the thing about Ace is that he's in a different place than he was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. And so lyrically, you know, he's singing about the girl he loves. He's singing about, it's not necessarily about, you know, this girl. I don't know how old the lyrics are. They're brand new, whatever. But, you know, it's Mushy Ace. And I still like the song, but, you know, I'd much rather get a Rip It Out, you know, kind of song. That's just, you know, how I am. Lee?
I liked it. It reminded me of Do Ya for some reason. Do Ya, you know, his cover of that. I don't know why it reminded me of that. But, yeah, it wasn't one of my favorites, but I think I'll like it. I think I will like it.
Yeah, for me, this is easily my favorite song on the record. It's just because the demo, I had all those old Ace demos growing up. I had, you know, the audio videos and Girl Can't Dance and all that stuff. And Back Into My Arms Again was always my favorite. Even the songs that he released, Back Into My Arms Again was always my favorite Ace song. I'm a pop fan at heart. I love pop music. I love pop sensibilities. I love hooks. I love choruses. I love catchy music. You know, when you were mentioning before, Joe, how sometimes you got to listen to an album more than once. I was young. I was probably 8 years old when it came out. I remember getting Michael Jackson's Thriller. And I was I'm a big Michael Jackson freak. I love Michael Jackson.
Heck yeah.
I heard Thriller for the first time, and I remember being disappointed. I'm like, and even 8 years old, I remember this clear as day. Like, I don't like this. Obviously, it's one of the greatest albums of all time. So it grew on me. But I love pop music. This song, and as much as I love the demo, and I do hate that we cut the intro. And I was like, Steve and Ace, why are we cutting the intro out of the demo? And who's ever heard the demo, there's like an acoustic guitar intro. It introduces that melody a little bit more. And then it gives us a little crescendo pop when everything pumps in. I missed that a little bit on this track, but the production on this track and Ace's vocal, I think, is so, so solid on this. Easily favorite track on the record.
Wow.
Fighting for Life. Okay. So that's the track that most people started talking about early for me. That had the chance to listen to it. All of a sudden it was, this is going to be the best track. This is going to be the biggest song. It is it's a very strong track. When I listen to it, I kind of feel like it could have been on The Elder. It has kind of a feel like that to me. And I was listening to it and I was like, man, this almost could fit on The Elder. Lee, what did you think?
To me, it made me think of 6 a.m. for some reason. I don't
know. Wow.
I don't know why. I just immediately, I was like, this sounds like 6 a.m.
I'm trying to think of the riff. Is it like, ba-na, 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 ba-na? Is that?
That's like the chorus riff a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the, and that it sounds like, music, you know, always kind of can remind you of other things.
Of course.
I'm trying to think of that one. Open your eyes. Life is beautiful.
6 a.m.
Yeah. Okay.
For me, I mean, to me, fighting for life is Rip It Out 2024.
Yeah.
I tracked it. So again, Anton's drum track is superior to my drum track. I'll be totally honest. It's incredible. My drum track was fun.
Undersell yourself now.
Come okay. On. Wait, time out. Before you go any further, I really want you to explain that to people, because this is something I've had to explain to people over the years. We're like, Fred Curry did not play on the first two Cinderella records, even though he's amazing on drums. For some reason, somebody else played on the record. They used somebody else's tracks. So when you say, you know, that the drumming was better, you explain how that's possible.
So I think something like with the Fred Curry situation, and even for me, listen, the reason why I'm on the record, obviously, I would hope to say, knock on wood, that I'm a good drummer, but it's more about, you know, Steve always says it. He's done a million interviews. It's his team. You know, Steve is the producer of the record. He brought in a lot of his team members, PJ Farley on bass included, to play on the record. And because he's comfortable, he knows what I can do. He knows the ease I have to work. I am to work with. Same thing with PJ. He's been working with PJ for 40 years. Something like the Cinderella records, I think it had nothing to do with skill. It's more about accessibility, about availability, about the ease of working with someone in a studio, and sometimes the speed of working with someone in the studio. So, you know, for something like the Cinderella situation, I don't think it had anything to do with talent. Fred Corey is an incredible drummer, and he could have killed those songs exactly the same way that whoever, I forget who tracked all the Cinderella. Was it Kevin Valentine? Or I forget who it was.
I think so.
But for this session, so, you know, just a little, for example, here's a little take on why I like Anton's track better than my track. My track is solid, and maybe one day I'll post it. It's super, it's almost identical, but there's little differences. So for instance, like if you hear the verses of Anton's, he does the Rip It Out beat. The floor tom eighth note pattern during the verses, right? Or in the beginning. And then the verses, he's just riding the floor tom. I did the opposite. I was doing a straight kickstart my heart, like a kickstart my heart straight hi-hat beat during the verses. And then during the pre-choruses, I was doing that same tom beat, exactly like Anton did it in the pre-choruses. So when Anton got my demo, he probably heard all the parts and he's like, oh, maybe this part would be fit better over here. So it's not like he did my parts better or, you know, I mean, he's doing all the parts that I wrote to the track, but he just, his placement in the song fit Ace better. He knows Ace. He knows what Ace wants. Mm-hmm. He worked. How many songs has he done with Ace over the years? Jesus Christ.
Right.
So, you know, he knows what Ace wants. He feels Ace's guitar and he knows what he wants underneath it. What I did was very comparable. It was very good. It was fun. It was energetic. I just think the way Anton placed his parts were superior.
Okay. So this was educational.
Yeah.
Next song, Blinded. Okay. So I'm listening to this record and the first night I listened to it, and then when I got the vinyl, I got home today, I put the record on, I started reading the lyrics, and I thought to myself, this is Paranoid Ace, man. This is this is Terminator Ace. This is the machine. This is Elon Musk says, we better be careful with AI Ace.
AI Ace.
You know, I did see an interview with him where he was talking about it, and he was freaking serious about what he was saying. We better be careful. And it's very unusual for Ace, because this is almost a teeny bit political. It's not political like Republican Democrat. It's not. It's political as in not the the straight sense of a politics.
It's technology.
He's a guy who loves technology is basically saying,
be careful.
We really should pump the brake.
Yeah. But it's true.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
And he's not wrong.
So a little back. So
Joey played on this record, on this song too.
I love this song. I think it's a rocking song.
I like this one a lot too.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those album tracks. Like, is it going to be a single? No, I don't think so. But it's one of those solid album tracks that, to me, the album. I listen, as much as I like the singles, I miss albums. I miss listening to a record from track one to track 11, 10, 11, 12, whatever it's going to be. And this album works best. And for anyone who hasn't heard it yet, or maybe it has been skipping around, listen to it in sequence. Listen to it, especially if you have the vinyl. When you listen to it, side one and side two, it has that old school vinyl album feel, like a rock and roll over, like a Dress to Kill, where you're feeling the side and you're feeling the moods. And this song has a good spot on side two where it's a good solid track. I remember when I got the rough tracks from Steve, again, no lyrics, no vocals. It was kind of like a scratch. It was like da, 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 ba, 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 kind of just to kind of feel a melody. And that's really how, you know, songs are built. People don't realize that lyrics are usually the last thing written, right? So Ace wrote all the lyrics about AI and the paranoia of AI taking over the world and stuff. But, you know, the track that I laid down was very basic, raw, and it kept that vibe. But I love that Ace put this meaningful lyric behind it.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. Constantly Cute. This was the first song that I was listening to that I went, that right there sounds like an Ace Frehley song. The riff, the vocal, the solo, everything. It's,
I like the solo.
Sounds. And Joey played on that one too.
Yeah, this was a fun one. So I love pop bass. This is definitely the poppiest song, if not, I don't know, maybe Back in Your Arms is a ballady. This is pop bass all the way, right? Talk to Me, Dolls. Like I said, this is really pop bass. Are the lyrics cheesy? Of course they are.
A little bit.
Okay, so what? It's Ace. Right?
It's
Ace.
It's like, if you don't want cheesy lyrics, go to Queensryche.
But my favorite is fans will yell, oh my God, he's singing about space again. And then when he sings a song about love and something, you know, poppy and goofy, oh my God, these are ridiculous. You can't win. You can't win either way. But this was a fun song to track. So this song, Steve originally sent me the demo for this song to track, and it had this double time feel. So right now it's constantly cute, but da da, right? So it's the two and the four are there, right? It was da 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 ba 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 ba. So it was a double time, like almost like that Come On Eileen double time feel.
Okay.
And I actually loved it. And Steve loved it too. And Ace was set against it. Ace was like, no. I think Ace even said it sounded too country.
Oh, interesting.
So we redid it and we did it with this feel. And long story short, Ace like pulled out his drum machine. It was like, no, I'm feeling it like this. And he literally played the drum beat kind of that I play on the track on a drum machine. Then I copied it, spiced it up a little bit with a little bell and stuff like that. But Ace felt it a certain way. And in hindsight, I think he was right.
Okay.
Interesting. Huh? Life of a Stranger. This is a cover, right, Joey?
It is. I've actually never heard the original. I think it's from the Trainspotter movie, right?
I listened to it after I saw him. If you guys don't know, he shot a bunch of videos before the record came out. And one of them, he was driving his car. And he's talking about wanting to do this song, and he's worried about hitting certain notes. And that's why, you know, so I looked up the song before I ever had a chance to hear this version that Ace did. And it's, I believe it's a female singer, and it's this. Okay. So this is what I wrote for this. Life of a Stranger, Joey plays on it. I felt like this was a big stretch for Ace. Most covers he does make sense. This is sounding more like it was a challenge for him. And I'm not just talking vocally, musically. It was, I mean, you listen to 2000 Man, he takes 2000 Man and makes it ace. You know, excuse me. You listen to, you know, New York Groove, he takes that song and he makes it ace. This song, it's ace, but it doesn't have a lot of room for him to bend it and mold it and turn it into this ace song because of the way it is originally. Now, Joey, you said you haven't heard it, so hopefully you'll get a chance to and you'll go, I get what you're saying. But I like the song a lot, and a lot because obviously, you know, when you sing something like this vocally, you know that there's, you know, like you said, there's multiple vocals and it's working its way together. But I love the vocal in this. It's unlike anything Ace has ever done. Lee?
Mm-hmm. I wonder how he picked that song. You know what I mean? I haven't heard the real one. I mean, the first one. But who sang it?
No, was it Nadia? Something like that? Yeah, I've never heard the original either. You know, to me, it's the only, and Steve had mentioned this in another interview too. So Ace always wants, so Ace has a formula. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you guys, while we were tracking this, while we were editing it too, it's even it was one of the reasons why Back Into My Arms Again, that intro got cut that I love so much. So the Ace has things that he wants. First thing he wants is songs under 4 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So Back Into My Arms Again, if you'll hear like songs start fading out right around that 3:40 mark, he doesn't want songs too long. The other thing, he wants an instrumental to end the album.
Love it.
And he wants to do, and listen, his biggest song ever, New York Groove, right? It set his career into motion. He wants to do one cover song each record. So, but what I do love about Ace, every cover song, not every cover song, but most of the cover song choices that he does, he makes them his own. New York Groove, nobody knows the original New York Groove. Nobody knows the original. Have you ever heard the original 2000 Man?
Only because I looked it up.
Yeah, yeah. But I've heard it once. I couldn't sing it. I guarantee you Kiss's version is more popular. Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
they play New York Groove so often on, like, Good Morning America.
Yeah,
Kelly and Mark.
Or, yeah, I mean, or, you know, if you know, it's something that gets played if the Jets are in town. Yeah, and they're, they play, you know, it all they're the playing time all the time. In New York. Yeah. So it's by somebody named Nadia, and it's from the Transporter soundtrack.
Transporter, right.
Huh. And I just want, I don't think that I mean, I don't really care. I'll
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I hear it. Melody's there. But it's more synthy and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, how many people have ever heard that? So to me, when Ace does a cover song, he makes it his own. So if anyone, obviously people know it's a cover song now, but if you didn't know it was a cover song, you'd think it's an Ace song. You wouldn't know.
Right. I didn't know it was cover.
Ace originally, you know, Steve told me this, originally wanted to do Your Love by The Outfield.
Oh, my goodness. Heard,
you know that song? I actually love that song, but yeah. I could never see Ace doing it. And Steve was like, whoa, hold on. This is not good for you. One, it's a super popular song. So it goes off that formula of kind of taking a cover song and making it your own. So, yeah. You know, I think he kind of did that with like Fox on the Run. I love his version of it, but it was too on the nose.
Yeah. No, I get that. It was on the nose. Yeah.
His Do Ya was really good.
Next is Up in the Sky. Okay. This is that. Okay. So a lot of you guys don't know this, and I'm about to bring up a name. Don't start sending me emails and everything, but all right, so there was a little web documentary about this was 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago, and they were interviewing people that had seen, it's like a legit little show, you know, and they had interviewed some people that not only saw UFO, and the term UFO just means unidentified flying object. It does not mean little men in a thing. It just means they couldn't identify what they were looking at, right? So I turned on this documentary, and because the guy who I know that's on it goes, hey, check this out. And in the beginning, it says, it talks about famous people that swear they saw UFOs. And one, I think, was Sammy Hagar. One was Ace. And the guy I knew that was on the documentary and had video of what he saw. And I can tell you this, when I looked at it, I had no idea what the hell he was filming. And the guy was Jody Havnot.
No, where the hell is Jody? Have we found him yet?
No, we don't know what happened to Jody.
Jody, if you're watching, please message us.
I would like to know if he's just alive. But anyway, I honestly don't know. But, you know, I will post the video so you guys can watch it. If you could tell me what the hell Jody is filming.
Oh, my God.
I'm not joking. I'm not saying it's aliens. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just like, what is it? It makes, you know. So that's what Ace is singing about. Ace is singing about another paranoia song. The media isn't being straight with us. The government you can't trust. I know what I saw. And Ace is, you know, this is a very unusual song for Ace Frehley. Lee?
I liked it. It was one of my favorite ones. I liked the solo and the words and everything. I'm all into UFOs and stuff, so.
I don't know a lot about this track. I think it's an older track that was maybe recorded a while back, a little leftover that they kind of revamped. Mm-hmm. I like the song. I think it's a little, if there's a song that feels a little misplaced for me on the record, it's this song. It feels, doesn't feel like it has the same. I don't get me wrong. I like the song. I just feel like it doesn't fit as well in with some of the other songs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a part in the melody in the chorus that reminds me of Rocking with the Boys. So the next time you guys, da na 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 na, it's just something reminds me of Rocking with the Boys, and then that made it a hook for me. So now I'm gonna Rocking with the Boys that became such a hook for me that it was the same with this one. All right, the final song. Stratosphere. It's fine, but you know, I understand why Ace is very traditional. He wants this and he wants this, just like Joey said. I don't know. I think I would like another, you know, just straight up rock song from Ace. I listened to it, and Lee is saying no. What do you say, Lee?
I love his instrumentals. Fractured is one of my favorite things. I love that he ends it with an instrumental. I love it.
Yeah, Joe, I don't think, listen, if you twisted my arm, I'd want another regular song. But I don't think you get, I think this is an extra song. I think you should think of this as the bonus song. I think if he doesn't do the instrumental, we get 10 songs. So I think the instrumental is extra. And when it's extra, then I really appreciate it. I do like the song a lot. It's catchy. I love all of Ace's instrumentals.
Me too.
And if you think of them as extras on the record, then you can appreciate them. But I agree, if you twist my arm, if would I rather have a regular track on the 11th song? Yes. But considering I don't think we would have gotten an 11th song unless it was an instrumental, I'll take it.
No, I love the instrumentals. Gotta have it.
All right. So I would tell you that out of 5 stars, I give the record 4. Only because Joey's drumming is okay, and I'm just kidding. He knows I'm busting
Joey
balls.
Killed it.
I'm being straight here. At the beginning, when I first listened to it, I wasn't behind it at all. I liked a little bit of it, just like I do. I mean, there are Kiss records that I go, I like 2 or 3 songs. That's it. I'll never like anything for my baby. However,
come on.
But this song really. A lot of it has to do with, because I have to take myself away from what I expect. you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, this guy's an artist and he's working with artists. Joey and the other guys, that's what they are. They're artists. They take nothing and they build something. That's the way it works. Even if it's a, even if it's a, an architect is an artist, they start with one girder and somehow they make a building. And that's what the record is. So, sorry, I got lost there for a second. So it grew on me. It's growing on me even more. I'll listen to it more. There's one thing that'll drag, like there's one thing about having it on my phone and I could attach it to the Bluetooth and I could listen to it through headphones. It's not nearly as much fun as taking the record out, dusting it off, putting it on the turntable and dropping the needle and doing whatever I got to do around the house and just listening to it is so much more fun. It's not very mechanical. And I have a ton of music on my phone. I rarely ever turn on my phone for music because it's too mechanical. It doesn't feel like I'm actually listening to music. It feels like I'm listening to my phone. If that makes sense.
Because that's what you grew up with, was albums. That's
right, just, yeah. And I really,
you know, me too.
I really enjoy it. Now, Lee, you loved it, you said.
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it. I think as I listen to it more, I'll really love it more.
And that's just like anything else. Destroyer was not a hit overnight. It took time. Mm-hmm. It, you know, people had to get used to it, and finally it broke. Joey, now I got it before, you know, before we get on to the next section of the show, which is a special thing we're going to try and see what people think. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. I might get personal.
Oh,
this might get personal.
Okay.
That's all right.
Good. More personal than what happened to you today, Joe, or no?
Oh,
okay.
Here we go.
Here we go. Okay. So what happened to me today was something that every man has to go through at some point.
And woman.
I had a colonoscopy.
We all have one.
This is important. I want everybody to know this.
We all have a colon.
It's terrible, but you got to do it. You'll live longer. Okay, here we go.
Joe, just so you know, when I'm ready for mine, I want you to come and hold my hand.
I will.
It's nothing. It's the prep that's awful.
But I just kept root beer dum-dums in the bathroom.
Didn't you feel good after the next day though? So
yeah,
clean.
Everything's out of all right. I'm sorry. This is, where are we going? All right, Joey. Listen, man. I'm about to hit you hard.
Give it to me.
I'm serious, man.
Go.
All right. So there have been times where I have been doing things in my life where I'm talking to you, just you now. Okay. It's me and you. Okay.
Earmuffs, Lee.
Okay. There have been times in my life where I was sitting doing something that was so amazing to me. And I sat and I thought to myself, I wish my mother and father were here. Okay. When you were playing these drums, did you go through that? Were you in there? Were you going, holy, your mom saw you doing some amazing things. Okay. But you just played on a motherfucking Ace Frehley record.
Right? It's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. I mean, listen, you know what it hit me. It was one of those moments where, you know, in my book, I always talk about frozen moments, right? Moments like this don't come over very often, right? So, you know, there was a moment on the Kiss tour when my mom was still alive, and she was supposed to come to Jones Beach in New Jersey to see us. Couldn't get there. She was too sick. Gene got on the phone with her.
Oh.
And I was like, Mom, Gene wants to talk to you. And my mom not only knew that I was the biggest Kiss freak in the world, but she loved Kiss too. Because not only because I loved it, but she actually liked Kiss and she loved Gene. So when Gene got on the phone with her and Gene was like, listen, we'll send the car, we'll send the limo. You have to be here. And she couldn't get there. So, you know, it's one of those moments. You know, this wasn't that moment, but She would have been proud.
She was.
Good God,
she
Joey. Is. Look, man, I'm proud, dude. I consider you my friend.
So proud of
and,
you.
And this is amazing to me. It's amazing that you did this. I sat with Karen the day you called me, and I was like, this is the greatest thing I have ever heard. For, I mean, it's like, it's, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Who was my first call to you?
Me. You were like, I'm sorry. We're all crying about this. I look, man, I know people
you
are
son
watching
of a
right
bitch.
Now.
I'll never forgive you for this.
I'm sorry. But look,
all
man.
All I have to say is thank God that fucking asshole Pony's not here.
You know, listen, in all seriousness, man, this is a wonderful moment in your life. Wonderful. And I know everybody's watching, everybody's listening. Thank you guys, you know, but you know we're buddies. Whenever I have something amazing go on, I call you, dude. Especially since I know that if we love a lot of the same things, you know, and we all do. And you know, I just like I said, I want it documented. You know that you know, like I said, I wanted to hear, you know. Look, Jared Frank says, why you make us cry, Joe? It's pretty spectacular.
Why you gotta do us like that?
It's pretty spectacular. Now, your mom aside, the rest of your family obviously knows you played on an Ace Frehley record.
It's one of those moments where it's like, yeah, this is why you struggle all the time and you put all that hard work in, you know, dreams happen.
You got to, you know, look, opening for Kiss for an entire tour is the top, is closest to the top of the mountain a lot of people would ever get. I'll never get there. The only chance I'm ever going to get to play in front of 40,000 people is if I bring my guitar to a Yankees game and stand in the middle of the crowd and play. So
Wait, hold on. Jared said this is the second time you made him cry this week. What was the first?
Jared went on the Clerks cruise from Jay and Silent Bob.
Yes.
And my son Jace has autism and he gets hyper focused on certain things. It's just how a lot of autistic kids are. You know, they'll see this hat and it's their favorite hat. And it'll be their favorite hat for a whole 2 months. And then one day they'll put it down and they'll go, this bottle of water, though, this is amazing. And they'll love the bottle of water.
Yeah, sure.
But then 6 months later, they'll find the hat and they'll be like, oh my God, I loved this hat. And that's Jace. And he loves My Name Is Earl, and that's his show. And Jared was on the cruise, and I said, if you could just get me a shout out or an autograph. No, I asked for if he could get an autograph. He said they weren't allowed to get autographs. He said, I'll try to get a shout out. And the guy who played Randy, what's his name, Lee?
Ethan Supley?
Yeah. Jared was standing right by him and he took out his phone and he recorded. And he said, hey, can you just say hi, Jace? And he goes, hi, Jace. And then I played that for my kid and he sat in bed and laughed for 3 minutes. Awesome.
That's amazing.
You know, so I said at the beginning, I don't think you were here yet, Jared, but I said, thank you. That was an amazing thing. All right. So listen, but we've run long, but it's Thursday night. I want to do something real quick for you guys. I want to introduce a little something. Maybe that's not so Kiss into the show, I thought it would be fun. You know, one of the cool things about being a Kiss fan is the fact that we span so many generations. It's not just like, you know, you're a fan of, you know, Britney Spears and she's in specific years. We go 50 years. So there's all kinds of things that we were into, and that's where we get the new thing, which is called Stuff We Grew Up With.
Whose voice is that? Is that
me,
Ronaldo?
Oh, shit.
I grew up with. So what I,
we grew up just, with.
Let's just take a few minutes and talk. I'm going to show you something, and I want you to start. Tell me what comes to mind when you see this. Joey and Lee, are you ready? Stuff.
We grew up at different times, but oh yeah, we know him. We love him.
All right, man. So I know that this isn't really Kiss, but I wanted to talk about our generations and how similar they are. So Godzilla,
Gojira, is what it is.
Were you a Godzilla fan, Joey?
Listen, I love all sci-fi. I love that monster movies. Were I love in love with them. I like the new stuff too. I like Mothra. I'm in Mothra, of course. I'm anticipating the Kong Godzilla coming out. Loved all that stuff growing up. Loved, you know, I was a big, I liked, you know, the son of Godzilla, the baby Godzilla one, and with the smoke the rings, right? One. Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Mecha Godzilla, of course.
Godzuki.
Godzuki. Love all that stuff. Yep. Ghidra, love it.
That new Godzilla was pretty kick ass. Yep. Did anybody see the recent one?
No, well, are you talking about amazing. Minus One? Minus One?
It was amazing.
I didn't see that.
It was quite possibly one of the greatest movies really I've ever seen in my entire life.
I mean, it's got subtitles. It's all
you have to read the subtitles, but it goes
so good.
Anyone have any info on when that's going to be streaming?
You know what? I check every week. But
go
it
see
is,
it in the theater if you can, man. It
let me
great.
Tell you, I remember, and I know this is a stretch, but I watched the documentary about the guy who saw the first, who saw Star Wars and said he went home and told his family that he had seen something so amazing that he had, you know, had changed things with Star Wars. Now this doesn't necessarily change things, but it does a little bit. So basically the Star Wars movie, and I'm not going to give away any of the plot or anything. It really focused on character build a lot more
right
than any other Godzilla movie I've ever seen.
Oh yeah.
And it the visuals of it are amazing. Godzilla's in it just enough to, you know, to make you
it
go this
so
was
cool.
It looks amazing. I highly recommend it. Now, one thing I do want to mention. So obviously we all grew up, you know, even you know, we didn't have the chances to see Godzilla movies like we do now. You go to your TV right now and type in Godzilla. There's a ton of them on like Max and they're because Godzilla is very popular right now. But I wanted to ask you guys, did y'all ever watch the cartoon Godzilla?
I don't know if I ever watched it, but I remember it.
They were always on a boat. And
when was that?
Oh, this was in the early 80s, I think. 80s? And Godzilla was like a team member. They would push a button and it would call him up like Aquaman.
No way. I did not see this.
Yeah. So if you get a chance, go and look at it. Had a catchy song, you know, and there were lots of monsters in it. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Chris, the big turtle, I think, was Gamera. I remember Gamera.
Gamera. Yes. Yeah. So
what
my...
about my one of my favorites was the Gargantuans. Do you remember?
Oh,
no, it was the same thing.
Yeah, of course. The orange one, of course.
The brown one and the orange.
That's
so
awesome. So I what I figured is at the end of every show, we're going to take 5-10 minutes
love
and
it.
Just talk about something that we grew up on.
Great.
It might be 90s. It might be 70s. It might. Well, I wasn't there for the 60s. Lee was. So
was 70s,
a little bit, yes. 80s, 90s, stuff we grew up on. I thought it would be a lot of fun. And you were like, Joe, did you go out and buy all these toys?
Nope. Just had them
my
here.
Son is a huge Godzilla fan. He used to have like a 6-foot Godzilla fat head on his wall. He has a bank that when you put the quarter on, it plays the music. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it opens up and you see Godzilla and he reaches his hand out and pulls the coin in. It's pretty funny. Anyway, so that whole thing that we just there was called
Stuff We Grew Up With.
Love it. Joe, I love the new segment, baby.
Okay, we're going to add more. We're gonna have other things as well. I'm trying to keep the show fresh. 54 of you guys hanging out with us this late on a Thursday. No football. Thank you guys for being here. That's how it works. Let's go ahead and Joey, once again, very
bravo
playing on the record.
Good job.
I have to tell you that I find myself focusing on the songs that you played. I find
I
myself
did too. On the drums. He's like, I played on this. Let me listen to those first.
I saw you play with Bruce, you know, and it was weird because I had to go back and watch the video of the whole thing again because I was like, I missed like 80% of what was happening because I was watching how happy Joey. Like I snuck around to the back and I filmed some things and I, you know.
You never sent me the stuff you filmed from the back, did you?
Are you sure? I don't know. We'll have to look. But I think I have it on my computer. I'll take a look.
Me growing up a Kiss fan, all these Kiss moments in my life. Listen, all of us, if you're here watching us still after an hour and 25 minutes, you're a Kiss idiot just like we are. So, you know, all these moments when you can get a moment with the original members or a member of Kiss, the Kiss family, and interject yourself into that world, it's life-changing. And, you know, we all do it together as fans at these conventions, and we're all part of this community. So, you know, when I get a chance to do something, whether it's with Bruce, tour with Kiss, play with Ace, the last thing I'm ever going to do is take it for granted. I know, because every time I get to do one of these things, I'm immediately shot back to that five-year-old kid that saw Kiss at the Garden, and I'm the fan just like we all are. And to get to have these moments, whether it's on stage or in the studio with these members, it's, you know, it's surreal and life-changing.
Yeah. Lee and I played one song with Bruce Kulick. I remember being on the stage while he was doing the solo, looking over and going, yeah, and Doug, our buddy Doug, and going, how did I get here?
Oh, yes. My God. What? I was freaking out.
Awesome. What has happened? Anyway, Joey, thank you very much for being here. Do you have anything to add?
No, just go out and, you know, listen to the Ace record. Don't, you know, don't worry about the hype and the interviews. Listen to it for what it is. God, Ace is not Freddie Mercury, guys. He's not singing like Freddie Mercury. Ace is Ace. Jesus Christ, enjoy it for what it is.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Do you have any new shows coming up?
Yeah, lots of ZO2 stuff coming up. We're playing Washington Capitals Arena, opening up for the Capitals end of this month coming, meaning March, not
Paulie's birthday. February. Are you going to be there for Paulie's birthday?
I'm going to try to get there for the jam for Paulie's birthday. I'm double booked that night currently, so I'm not sure if I'm going to get there. But ZO2's got some more stuff in the works. There's some other stuff in the works with some other, you know, projects that I'm working on that I can't mention yet. But we will. I'll be busy in this year. You'll see.
Awesome. Hopefully not as you know, you'll be able to come here once in a while. Lee.
Yeah. Great show, Joey. You're awesome. I loved it. Sorry, my camera washes me out every so often. That's all.
That's okay.
I don't know why it does this. Whatever.
Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget, we have a Patreon. If you want to check that out, it's free for a first week. It will not cost you a penny. We always add stuff all week long. I've been posting videos of Sonny Pooney's room where he's got all this Kiss stuff, and I'm going to be posting more coming up, I guess, tomorrow. So go check that out. It's patreon.com/podcastrockcity. You know what I'm going to say? We love Kiss. And we love Kiss podcasts, most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1, peace.
Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet?
These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's first stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.